So if you'll find in your Bibles Deuteronomy, and then go toward the end, we're going to be in chapter 30 to start out with chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. I just want to say that a couple things. We've already have 128 coming to the Christmas dinner. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. But then after that, we have Christmas Eve service here. You know, what a way to start out Christmas with Christmas Eve service in the morning, right? And then listen, why not invite some of those people that you're inviting to the dinner to come to Christmas Eve service?
Yeah.
Amen? I see this place full in my heart in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, I don't know if it'll happen this Christmas, but there's going to be a day when every one of these pews will have to be looking for seats. Ushers, well, could you scoot together because we got to fit two more in?
Yeah.
Come on. Why? Because we want the glory of God to be here. We want God's presence to be here. We want God to be in the lives and the hearts of people. People don't know it. People don't understand it. But we need God.
Amen.
We need Him in this country. We need Him in this place. We need Him in our homes. We need Him. Amen. I believe that we're the answer to the nation. Hallelujah. Did you find Deuteronomy? So I'm going to start out just asking you a question. What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want? What is it that you want out of your life? What is it? You know, is life just the thing? Well, you know, life just happens. So whatever happens to me is going to happen to me. And I'm just a victim of my circumstances and all of that. You know, that's not true. I said, that's not true. You know, you have people who come from such rough backgrounds, and yet they come and to incredible heights. I'm thinking of this one man who's, he's actually a pastor, but he was in Africa, and he was reading some books, and he said, I want to go to Bible school, or Rhema Bible Training College. I want to go there. Well, you got to understand that for him to get over here, it took an incredible amount of money just for the visa, for the airline tickets, and all of that. And he's broke. He has nothing. He's living in Africa. He's not making $10 an hour. He's not making $18 an hour. He's lucky to be making a dollar a day. Right? But what do? He started believing God for the impossible. For the impossible. And long story short, he came over. He went to Rhema. He's married, got great kids. But God filled his longing, his need, his desire, because God put it there in the first place. And is God putting some things in our hearts, but yet we're, by our choices, not allowing them to come to pass? What do you want? Right? What do you want in your life? What do you want in your next year? What do you want in the next 10 years? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your children? What do you want for your grandchildren? What do you want? Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14. It says, but the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Everybody, look at your Bible. If it's in your phone, that's cool. But if it's on your lap, this is the word that's near you. Let me say that again. This is the word that's near you. It's in your heart and it's in your mind. They didn't have the Bible like we have it. They didn't go to the app store and say, I'm going to download the Bible. Or they didn't have the Bible even in printed form that they could take home. But they had to go to the synagogue to read the scrolls again and again. But he said, the word is near you. Is the word near you?
Yeah.
Here's the deal about the word being near us. We can have the word by us, sitting on our coffee table, you know, sitting on the bookshelf. But is it near us? Is it in our hearts? Are we reading it? Are we studying it? Are we letting it become a part of who we are? And I know this, that that when I read the Word of God, it doesn't always feel like a revival meeting. I don't get goosebumps. I don't shout out, well, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, there's not all of that emotions. But what I know is that I'm being fed. The Word is near me. It's in me. It's coming in me. Glory to God. You know, every time I eat a carrot, I don't say, oh my gosh, did you feel that vitamin coming into your bloodstream? Right? You know, did you feel that? Come on. You had some kale. Woo, superfood. Tastes like garbage, but it's superfood. Did you feel it? No, I just felt something dry. But anyway, you get the point. The food coming in sometimes doesn't give you the feelings, but it's doing the work. Hello? Look at that again. But the Word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. The Word of God that you're reading, you need to put it into your heart and let it come out of your mouth. Right? Because then we can do it. Watch this now. See that I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you to this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land to which you go to possess. Listen, God's plan for us, like we've been talking about, is increase. God's plan for us is to go forward. But watch this. He puts in us choice. I'm going to give you a choice. My paraphrase, God's saying, hey guys, do you want life to go good with you? Do you want everything that I promised you? Then you choose. You choose. How many times have we lived out our choices that didn't go so well? Because the choices weren't the right ones. Here's the awesome thing about when you make a choice and you blow it. Is that you can make a choice to fix it. I don't care where you're at in your life. If your choices are leading you in a place where you don't like, then you can choose to do something about it. Come on. You all know who Ben Carson is, right? Great doctor, ran for president, whatever. But his story goes, and I'll probably get this a little wrong, but his story goes that he was living in the hood around, you know, people and drugs and all of that. And, you know, that's where his playground was. But his mom and his grandma said, boys, I don't think so. We're going to go to the library and you're going to start reading. You're going to start reading story after story after story, books and better books and better books and better books. And he was put and conditioned, even though he was in the same place where his neighbors wouldn't amount to anything. Because his mom gave him a different choice, he had a different outcome. Do you see what I'm saying? So our choices that we have today are making a determination of where we're going to be tomorrow. And I love this, the power of choice. I learned this years ago, and it's true. No one can make you anything. No one can make you happy. No one can make you sad. Come on, no one. I mean, they can do some things that aren't pleasant, but how you react to those things is your choice.
You told me you think I'm too happy.
Well, you do. Only because you choose to be good and kind and honest and, yeah. Watch this. I got the mic. Well, listen. We have to start understanding that God gave us the power of choice to shape our lives. His will for us is for our lives to be good. His will for us is for our lives to be right. His will for us is to have our lives in line with His Word. Because there's a blessing upon it. Let's go on. Verse 17 says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to you, to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Listen again. He said, I'm putting this choice before you. And then he says, but I want to encourage you. Choose life. Choose life. And I love this. He says, the first thing he said, and it's the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might. You know, you have to choose to do that. And you have to choose to do that all the time. You have to choose to do that when things aren't going right. You have to choose to do that even in the middle of excitement. You have to choose the Lord your God, because you're going to have the opportunity to choose something different. Are you with me? I choose Jesus, but I have to choose Jesus every morning. If I want my life to go the way that he wants it to go, I have to choose him. There's verses that say, rejoice in the Lord always. And you go, are you kidding? Do you know what I just went through? I was just in an accident, or, you know, my spouse left me, or, you know, something tragic happened, or so-and-so was elected president. How can I rejoice? Because you're not rejoicing in the circumstances, you're rejoicing in the Lord. And that's a choice, but you have to make the choice. What do you want? Do you want joy? Then you have to choose to rejoice. You have to choose to rejoice. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, and he was a godly man, great man of faith, did many things. But, I mean, if you saw his life, it was strange the way he did things. Let me just caveat to that. There was one time they brought, it was in Los Angeles, they brought him in, a man on a stretcher. And the man had, you know, terminal cancer, last stage cancer. He couldn't walk, couldn't get in there. The doctor brought him in. And Smith went up and said, what's wrong with this man? He's got cancer. And he went over to the man and he hit him as hard as he could in the belly. And said, be healed. The man died. And the doctor was screaming at him. And I said, Smith said, no, I told him to be healed. And about 3 minutes later, the man's running across the stage after Smith completely healed. Yeah. Right? But so this is his mentality. And he heard from God. He did what God told him to do. But somebody asked him, he said, well, Smith, how do you feel? He said, I never ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how he feels. I tell him. When I wake up in the morning, I don't ask him if his body's aching. I don't ask him if his mind is right. I tell him. This is what the Word says. Why? He's choosing this day who he's going to serve. Do you know the number one idol that we face? Self. That's why Jesus said you got to deny yourself. You want to have life and have it abundantly, you got to deny yourself. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that. I don't want to rejoice, but I'm going to rejoice anyway. Because I'm choosing what God has said over what I've experienced. Now, I know many of you, some of us have lived a long time and maybe have gone through the whole work experience, but I can guarantee you that anybody who's ever had a job, even if it was a wonderful job, didn't wake up every morning going, boy, I get to go to work. Especially if you've been up real late the night before. And you had to get up at 5 to get there by 6:30, and oh man, I want to go. But because your mission is to accomplish the things at work that you need to so that you can supply for your family, you choose to do what's right even when you don't want to. So I'm saying, what do you want is based on what you choose. Because you'll get the results of your choices. Are you with me? And the promises of God are like that. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is really interesting because he's talking about children obey your parents, and he's talking about, you know, fathers being who you're supposed to be. And then he goes to the bond servants or the employees to their employers, you know, to do what they're supposed to do. But then let's go down to verse 7. He says, actually, we'll start verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether it is a slave or free. So listen, even our actions have to be chosen by what God has said, not what we feel. And it has to be irrespective of what somebody else says or does. I don't know about you, but I've had some bosses I didn't care for. I've had some bosses that was like, oh, come on. You know, get a clue. God strike them, right? I mean, God get them. But I had to make a decision in my heart. If I wanted joy in my workplace, I had to decide that I was working as unto the Lord. That God gave me the job and I'm working for a person or I'm working for a company, but the result is I'm doing it unto the Lord. See, I had to choose to put God in a place that maybe I didn't even like, but I had to put him there. So what are your circumstances that you're facing today? Are you going to choose today to put God in them so that tomorrow they won't be as depressing as they've been before? Who are you going to choose? And again, I ask you, what do you want? If you want God's presence in your life, then you have to put him in it. I mean, we all know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But oftentimes, it's like we're not listening. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you've told them over and over and over and over what to do? And then they come back to you and say, how do you do that? Huh? I've told you 1,000, I mean, you know, you're getting angry. I told you 1,000 times, just do it. You know, sometimes I feel like God is like that with us. God, what do I need to do? God, what do I need to do? God, what do I need to do? I've already told you. Rejoice in me. Be thankful in me. Put me first. Acknowledge me in everything that you do. Everything? Everything. Even when you're working, even when you're raising kids, even when you're dealing with a spouse on the first row who's not being, you know, kind in response. You deal with that by choice, right? You rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because sometimes your feelings will lead you away from God's destiny. Hallelujah. He wants us to know that we have to put him in everything. And believe me, I am not saying that you don't have situations that are tough. We all do, right? We all do, but we've got to be determined to do it. Let me tell you this story. Some of you may not know who he is. Many of you will. But do you remember Audie Murphy? Audie Murphy was a soldier in the Second World War. And Audie Murphy was like 5'4", you know, weighed nothing. In fact, when he first went, they weren't even going to put him into a military unit because he was too small and they were going to do something else. He said, no, I want to be up on the front line. And if you looked at him, you go, what good are you? But they got into a battle and there was a enemy machine gun nest that was just taking everybody out. And they're sitting in these foxholes and nothing's happening. And Audie Murphy says, if nobody else is going, I'm going. And he got out of that and charged the nest and disabled the nest and did it several times. Right? So what am I saying? Everybody in those foxholes had a choice whether to be courageous, to do what they felt like doing, let's duck, or to charge. We have a choice in our lives. Are we going to stay in the situation that we're in? Are we going to allow the situation to determine what happens next? Are we going to take God at his word and say, live or die, I'm going to go take that nest. I'm going to go take what the enemy is trying to steal from me. I'm not going to allow in my life anymore. I'm not going to allow his negative thoughts to come to me and declare to me who he says that I am. If you listen to the devil, he'll tell you that you're worthless, that you can't do anything, that your life is over, and you might as well just eat worms and die. Has he ever spoken anything in that spirit to you before? Have you ever felt that before? You've got to come to the place where, devil, I'm not listening to you. I remember Donnie called me and she's, you know, or text me, I can't remember, you know, about those kidney stones. And I said, I don't think so, baby. You were healed in Jesus' name. And she had to take a stand to choose to put God's word in its place in her life, even if the pain was real. The pain was sensed. The pain was there. But it's your words. What's in your heart and what's in your mouth? Because your choice comes from your heart, but it will come out of your mouth. We have to choose to be who God's told me to be. Just another, you can't let other people tell you who you are. Let me say that again. You can't let other people tell you who you are. You can't let other people put limitations upon you when God said, all things are possible. Can I give you another story? It's me. It's my story. Years ago, I was working in the shipyard, and I became a temporary supervisor. And I'd been that for a little while, and then they put you in this class. And this class, you know, they all kinds of leadership type of training. And then they give you this assessment test. And some of you have dealt with those assessment tests. And this particular one, you were either an eagle or, you know, a lion or, you know, I mean, there was four things around the circle. And so when my test came back, I was in that circle at a place where I really wasn't the personality type that should be a supervisor. And actually, the leaders came up to me and they discussed it. They said, you know, up to this point, man, you were spot on. You were like one of our star students. But maybe you should just get a job doing something else. Maybe you should set your mind on something else. Watch this. And it started to bug me. So not too much later, I said, you know, well, maybe they're right. And so I gave up that position and went back to what I was doing. But in my spirit, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And so fast forward, I got this position back. And, you know, when I left, I was supervisor of my shop, but I was up for supervisor of the year for the whole shipyard. Amen. Why? Because I decided that I could do what God put in my heart to do. And I had to learn some things. I had to do some things differently. I had to act differently. I had to, you know, make decisions differently than what my personality wanted to. Because my position needed it. Do you see what I'm saying? Why am I bringing that up? Because sometimes, even in our personality, well, I'm shy. Well, get over it. Well, I'm not a type A person. Well, step up to the plate. You have to choose to do some things if you want change. Hallelujah. I was in worship today. I've determined that 2000 and can you believe that 2024? I remember as a kid, I didn't think we'd ever get to the year 2000. But if we did, we'd all be flying helicopters or something, right? But 2024? Yeah, we're here. But I'm determined that 2024 is going to be a year of change. Amen. Everybody say change.
Change.
How many want change?
Amen.
Your circumstances aren't perfect. You want something different. You want different vision. You want a different direction. How many want that? Well, then you have to choose. If you don't choose to do something differently than you did in 2023, if you don't determine to think different and act different and be different, then change won't come. You'll be the same next year going, I wonder what 25 is going to be like. Listen, we need to determine in our hearts that change is coming. And we're not going to settle for anything less. Change. Change. I did a sermon years ago, and some will remember it, but it was this. Change isn't change until there's change. Oh, that's deep, isn't it? Change isn't change until there's change. How many have had people come up and tell you they're sorry? And the first time is okay, but by the 100th time, and the behavior is still the same, you go, the sorry is not working anymore. Why? Because change isn't change until there's change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Galatians chapter 6. I'm determined to change. I said, I'm determined to change. I'm determined to change. Let me just give you an example of that, and I'll use me again as an example. I would like to. Me, I must just be, you know, one of those have-nots. What you did is you sowed, I can do all things, but then you cancel it by sowing something completely different. Are you with me? Now look at this. And the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should keep sleep by night and day and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the fruit, grain, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts a sickle because the harvest has come. I think oftentimes we put the seed in the ground, but we don't wait for the harvest. We don't wait for the grain to be produced fully in us. We start to act on some things outside of the full production of the Word of God coming into us. What do I mean? Lord, I want you to work on me. I want to die to myself. Lord, I want to love like you want me to love. And that starts to become produced in you, but you don't let it take its full time. You don't keep meditating on it. And it might produce, there might be a blade that sticks up and you go, wow, man, I didn't cuss that guy out. Right? I didn't signal that person that cut me off driving like I would have. Praise God. But still in your heart, you thought, but if I get a hold of him, right, I'll give him a piece of my mind. You see, it hasn't produced everything that the seed is supposed to produce. What am I saying? Get the word of God and put it in your heart. Let it come out of your mouth and keep it working. Keep it working. Keep it working. Keep it working. Don't be satisfied with just the little shoot. And don't be satisfied with the blade. Don't be satisfied until you see the full grain being brought to harvest potential. Amen? Everybody in here has the potential to love other people as Christ loves you. Let me say that again. Everybody in this room has the potential to love other people as Christ has loved you. When I'm saying other people, I'm talking about the people that you like and the people that irritate the fire out of you. You have the capacity to love as they loved. But here's what I'm saying. We've got to let the love of God become shed abroad in our heart. We have to let the love of God begin to take over in our minds. We have to put the love of God first place in our heart. What's the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we got to get to the place where we're not satisfied with the shoot. We're not satisfied with the blade, but we're only going to be satisfied when the love of God can be seen and displayed and come through us. Why? Because I want to choose what God has for me. I want to choose to do His will. I want to choose to be in the place where He wants me to be. Glory to God. And I'll just say this. That we have to give the Word time to produce. We have to give the Word time to produce. Why is that? Because sometimes we go, you know, God, I'm just going to believe that you want me to prosper in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to prosper me in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me life and given that more abundantly. And yet God is saying, that's right. That's what I want for you. But there's a process that has to come before that can happen. And some of that process you might need to learn how to prosper. You might need to begin to see yourself as prospering. It's like the farmer says, listen, I want a crop. I want a crop. I want a crop. God, give me a crop. Lord, I want a harvest of corn. I want a field full of corn. God, give me, I'm just seeing it in my mind, Lord. I'm believing you, God, for a yield of corn. And then God with a big loud voice comes into your bedroom. Help me out and plant it. Plant the corn. What am I saying? If we want something different, then we have to plant something different. And once we plant something different, stay with that different plant until you see it come to pass. How many want more peace in your life? How many are anxious and you don't like the anxiety maybe that you're walking in or you feel that? You see, all that is, what, and it's real, but it's from the enemy who wants to torment you. That's what anxiety is. It's thinking thoughts that the enemy is putting into your head or that you've been conditioned instead of what God says. I told you the story, I think it was last week or the week before, about how that I was working for 7-Eleven, and I was so in the spirit that the guy came in to rob me, and he took a gun out of his coat or his belt and put it into his coat pocket and said, "Give me all the money that you have." I was so in the spirit that day because I'd been worshiping and other things. That here's the thought that came to me. Be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. In other words, there was so much peace in my heart that a gun pointed at my belly could not change the peace that God put in my heart. That's the way we should live. Are you there? I'm not yet, but that's what I'm headed for. Because my choice to live according to God's word is what determines how much peace I have. Not the anxiety, not the situations, not the, that two people can be in the same situation and the same circumstances, everything upon them, and one be full of anxiety and the other just full of peace. Again, I'll just go back to this and I'll close. But I can remember, as a supervisor, all these tasks, and I had like 30 guys working for me, and I was in charge of this, and out on the boat, and all of this, and you had to do all the it was a lot of things out there. And man, it was, there were days I was going, my head was going, whoa, 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 right? And there was a gentleman that was sitting next to me in the office that we were in. And man, he just seemed to be free, and he could handle, it's like he could, you remember the back in the day when they had those plates that they'd put on the pole and spin them around, and they'd have all these plates going at one time? Does anybody remember that? Okay, I've got one, thank you. But they'd have, we got plates spinning, this one going, and this one going, and this one going, and then they got to go back to this one and do it. That's kind of how I felt. But it's like he could just spin all those plates without any issues. What was the difference? The difference was he was comfortable with who he was, and I hadn't got there yet. He could separate the work from his emotional state. And we can do the same thing with the Word of God. God said that he'd give you the peace that passes all understanding. What does that mean? The peace that you're walking in doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Because everything around you is going crazy. But yet you're walking in peace. Why? Because you took the word of God and you planted it in your heart. I'm just going to close, but go to Philippians chapter 4 and we'll see how this works. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Some of you know that that's in the Word. And God said, I'm going to give you a choice today. You choose. But here's what I want you to choose. To rejoice in the Lord always. Can I do that? Yes. Why? Because he said you could. Now let's go on because it gets even more interesting. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. The Amplified says, do not fret or have anxiety over anything. Huh? Is that a pipe dream? Or was he kidding here? He said, I'm putting before you this day a life of peace or a life of anxiety, but choose peace. What do you want? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, here's the situation. Here's the problem that I'm having. But it's not just that. It's like, Lord, I want to thank you that you hear me. I want to thank you that you care for me. I want to thank you that you're going to give me the answers that I need to get through this situation. Now, here's the key. Again, we're planted the seed. Lord, I want to be anxious for nothing. Your word says it, so that's the change. Lord, I am going to get rid of this anxiety because it doesn't belong to me. Finally, and the peace of God, listen to this promise, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. If we do the first part, the second part will be there. If the second part is not there, then we're not doing the first part. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We all meditate all the time. It's that hamster wheel that's going around in your head all the time. But we get to choose what's on the wheel. And he's saying, choose these thoughts. I can't live in the peace of God that he wants me to if I'm not willing to begin to think differently than I'm thinking right now. What do you want? What do you choose? Because God's put that before you. Amen? 2024 is going to be a year of change. Because we're going to change. According to his word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for not only it feeling good, but also the ouch factor, Lord. I thank you, God, that you lead me to a place where you want to correct me to make me even more efficient for you. So, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for everybody that's listening to your word, whether it's online or in the house today. God, I thank you for touching every person. Every promise, God, that you've made for us is available to us. And Lord, to the best of our ability with your help, we don't want to leave one promise on the table. We want your word. We want your provision. We want your heart in our hearts. We want to know, Lord, that we're right with you. We want to know, God, that things are according to your will. So, Lord, I just thank you for speaking to people under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord, for touching them in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the first step. What do I mean by that? I mean, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm giving you my life completely. I'm going to choose you over even me. I need a Savior. I'm not perfect. I'm not satisfied with my life. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. If you're saying that, then the reality is that Jesus, I no longer want to be at the head of my life. I want you to be the Lord. So whatever you say that I'm supposed to do, that's what I'm going to do. Lord, today we all renew that commitment to you. Jesus, you are Lord of our lives. And Lord, I ask you to touch every person that's watching online in Jesus' name. Heal their bodies. Touch their mind. Let their spirits just jump up with joy because you are with them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to close with a worship song. God bless you. And listen to me. Do not let the holidays put you in a place that you don't belong. Right? Don't let the anxiety and the whole gift giving is great. We're blessed to be able to do it. It's blessed, but don't let, and I love this. I heard it from Lila years ago. Don't let today's expectations become tomorrow's resentments. Just trust God. Just love people and give without any strings attached. And God's peace will be in this season. In Jesus' name, amen.